The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long. Only 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and no manipulation. Not any manipulation at all on the Flatline radio show. We're adding a lot of new radio stations. You may be hearing the Flatline for the very first time this morning in your city. In the month of March, we've added over 30 new radio stations. So I welcome all of you that are listening for the first time to the Flatline, F-L-O-T, Flatline. That stands for Forward Line of Troops. What we're going to teach on this radio show is the main line of resistance. How you can have a wonderful life free of worry, free of stress, free of pressure. You can't stop the pressure, but you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside source of stress. If you learn the Word of God, learn these 10 unique problem-solving devices we'll teach on this radio show, you'll learn how to stop this stuff of worrying and agitation and anger and bitterness, how not to live like that, how to live a wonderful life. And it's a great, indeed, wonderful thing to have a flat line in your soul. So please pay attention. Please listen. We have a wonderful website called rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. If you'd like to go there, you can look us up, see who we are, see what all we offer free of charge. We've got several books we've written. They're all free. We don't sell anything. We don't raise money. We're not asking for money. We just believe if God's in it, He'll pay for it. So check out the Flatline and check out the radio broadcast this Sunday and next Sunday and the following Sunday, and go to the website and check us out, rickhughesministries.org. If you're listening this morning, you know it's Easter Sunday. Many churches that I've visited have special services as well as Easter celebrations in local communities as well. Easter egg hunts, things like that. The theme in the non-Christian world is Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. So the celebration of bunnies and chickens who laid the eggs. History tells us that in early Christianity, the Christian church moved the celebration of Easter to coincide with an existing pagan festival on the first full moon after the spring equinox, which is why Easter moves every year. In the old pagan custom, the eggs were a symbol of new life, and the rabbits were a symbol of fertility. Also, many churches celebrate Holy Week, leading up to Easter Sunday. That week is a time of remembering the historical events that took place in Jerusalem and set the stage for the birth of Christianity. Many celebrate Palm Sunday leading up to Easter Sunday. This is the day that our Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey while crowds welcomed him by waving branches and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" You can read about these events in Matthew, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The historical events of that particular week, the Holy Week, go like this. On Sunday, we have Palm Sunday, when the Lord rode into town, into Jerusalem, on the donkey. And then Monday, we have Jesus clearing out the money changers in the temple who were robbing the people, charging them exorbitant prices to buy sacrifices that would be offered. On Tuesday, Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives and gave the Olivet Discourse. On Wednesday, we have no records. We don't really know what happened. Maybe rest, some people say. Maybe he rested. But on Thursday, we have the Passover meal in the upper room. Our book, These Things, we have a book written about that called These Things, where Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I taught you." So that's what went on in the upper room, these things, the upper room discourse, the Holy Communion. And then Friday, Good Friday, he was tried by the religious leaders and the Romans crucified him and buried him in a tomb with a stone covering the entrance. That's what Good Friday is. And then Saturday was the Sabbath, when the Jewish people were commanded to do no work. The Jewish leaders went to Pilate and requested that a Roman guard be assigned to guard the tomb, because the disciples might try to come and steal his body. In Matthew 27:62, it reads this way: "The next day," that's after the crucifixion, "the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisee went to Pilate. 'Sir,' they said, 'we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said these words. He said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until that third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and try to steal the body and tell people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first,' they said. Pilate answered and said, 'Take a guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how.' So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. And now Sunday, Resurrection Day, the day you're celebrating right now. Early Sunday morning, several women who were close to Jesus went to the tomb and found the stone rolled away. And an angel was sitting there who announced, 'Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said we would, just as he said it would happen.' He said it in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. On Sunday, the Bible reports that Jesus appeared to at least 5 other people, like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, Peter, just to mention a few. So how does all of this stuff relate to you? How does all of this relate to you? Let's talk about that for a minute. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, from the grave was proof positive that he, in fact, was indeed the anointed Son of God. Listen to the very words of Jesus found in Matthew 16:21. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Now, the disciples, they weren't in favor of that. They scratched their head and said, no, that's not going to happen. But it did, just as he said that it would. As a matter of fact, had the resurrection not occurred, then you and I would not even be saved. You hear me? If there's no resurrection, there's no salvation. That resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave is demonstrating the power of God himself to raise his only begotten Son out of that grave. Our resurrection, in fact, is our victory over death. Because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be resurrected as well. In 1 Corinthians 15:54-55, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that it is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" So our resurrection will be victory over death. Death cannot hold the Christian. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We know that. But it's just you moving to a different location. Your body may be worn out and time to shut down, and you may go to heaven. Your soul and spirit will go to heaven, and you'll get a resurrection body, eventually a new body. So in resurrecting our Lord Jesus Christ from that grave, God demonstrated his complete sovereignty over life and death. You know, you and I do not choose the time and the manner of our departure from this sin-infected planet. Only God has the ability to make that happen. But you and I have the ability to choose where we will spend eternity. For the Christian, it's in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples that he would personally guarantee them a place in heaven. In John 14:2, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The person who chooses to reject God's offer of eternal salvation will in fact spend eternity in the most horrible of all places, called the Lake of Fire, which place was prepared for Satan and the fallen angels that followed him in the rebellion against God in eternity past. In Revelation 20:15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear the one that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Eternal life is a wonderful thing, and it is a gift of God to you, resurrecting you out of the grave, giving you a new body, an ability to live forever in his presence and worshiping your Lord. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, you hear it, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where it starts. So let's talk about something for a minute. What can you expect in the eternity future? What's going to happen? Well, number one, the Bible teaches us the universe is going to be destroyed. The complete universe will be destroyed. But you will not be harmed because you are a child of God. So when that event takes place, which I'll share with you here, you'll be just fine because you have salvation. In 2 Peter 3:10, Peter wrote about that event when he said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That doesn't sound like a very pleasant time, does it? When this event occurs, you and I will have a front row seat. It appears apparent that Satan's influence has infected the complete universe. Thus, everything that we have ever seen with a Hubble telescope, everything we've ever looked at night and the stars, it will all be destroyed. But not you. Something new and something better awaits you. You want to hear what it is? Listen to Revelation 21:1-5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have all passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said these words, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That's what you can expect. Revelation 21:1-5. And now the second thing you can expect. The second thing you can expect once you get a resurrection body and once you show up in heaven like your Lord Jesus Christ is your resurrection body will be permanent, and it will be exactly like the body of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. During this time, you will receive your eternal rewards for faithfully executing the plan of God, if in fact you do that. So what can you expect about that? I'm going to tell you, there are winners and there are losers in eternity. The loser doesn't forfeit his eternal life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he will be in heaven, but he will enjoy eternal life, but he'll be minus rewards. So during this time, you receive your rewards if you're a winner believer. That means you grew to spiritual maturity. You faithfully glorified God to the maximum. You replicated the life of Jesus Christ. Listen to Revelation 2:7. The overcomer, who's that? That's the winner believer. That's the mature Christian. The overcomer will eat of the tree of life which is in the middle of the paradise of God. So if you're in heaven in a resurrection body and you have grown to maturity and you glorify God to the maximum, you're going to be invited to take part in eating the special fruit coming from the special tree of life. In Revelation 2:10, here's something else you can expect. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So there's something you can look forward to, the winner's crown. In Revelation 2:17, the overcomer will eat of the hidden manna and receive a white stone with a new name written on it. That's in Revelation 2:17. So we got Revelation 2:7, the overcomer will eat out of the tree of life. Revelation 2:10, I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:17, I will give you a new name and a white stone. It'll be written on it. And Revelation 2:25, you will be ruler of nations in the millennium along with the decoration of the order of the morning star. Wow. You'll be knighted. You'll have a famous reward. You'll be the order of the morning star. That's like the Congressional Medal of Honor. In Revelation 3, 4, you will have what? You will have a new uniform to wear in heaven. Now that will be awesome. It's made of white. And in Revelation 3:12, his deeds shall be recorded forever in the temple of God, along with recognition by proclamation what you did while you were on this planet. That's what you can expect. You can expect to be able to eat of the tree of life in the garden, the paradise of God. You can be given a crown of life. You can eat the hidden manna and receive a white stone with a new name written on it. You'll be given the order of the morning star. You'll be given a uniform of white. And everything you did that glorified God will be recorded forever in the temple of God, along with recognition by proclamation. So at the resurrection of the royal family of God, believers become physically superior to all angelic creatures through the possession of a resurrection body. So when you get to heaven, you will be superior to angels because they're not in a resurrection body like the Lord Jesus Christ, but you will be. There's only one body in heaven right now, and that's Jesus. He's there in a resurrection body. So there is a second resurrection taught in the Bible, a second resurrection in eternity, and this is when hell gives up the dead that are in it. And the unbelievers who were in hell are judged and cast in the lake of fire. So this is Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works, and then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So apparently, if you die now as an unbeliever, you go to Hades or hell, and you will say, where is weeping and gnashing of teeth and darkness. But once this event occurs, you'll be brought out of hell and evaluated. You'll be given a chance to prove that you were not, that you don't need to go to the lake of fire. You've been a good boy, but that doesn't work, because the real issue is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's put there when you're born. And if you die without accepting Christ, you die the first death. You're either going to die two deaths or you're going to be born twice, one of the two. First birth is eternal, is your physical birth. And the second birth is being born again. The two deaths, the first one is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and the second death is here, where it says, this is the second death, Revelation 20:14. So anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, that means their name was there, but it's been blotted out because they died without seeing Christ, without believing in Christ, and they're cast into the lake of fire. So that's a resurrection you don't want to be a part of. So finally, we recognize the rewards the humanity of Christ receives in eternity. In his very first advent, the humanity of Jesus Christ was made lower than angels. But through his resurrection and his ascension and his session, which we celebrate today, he is now higher than the angels, and he's seated at the Father's right hand. Hebrews 1:3, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to Him. So you see, Easter, it's not just a fun day with the kiddies hunting Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies. This is a day that represents the sum total of what the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ endured in order to secure our salvation, both now and throughout all eternity. So today we worship Him as King of Kings, our bright and morning star. In Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. Wow. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only celebrity worth following and worth worshiping. You can call this worshiping Him occupation with Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote about being occupied with Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful, and let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's occupation with Christ. The peace of God will rule in your heart because of your relationship with Christ. The words of God will dwell in you where you'll be able to think like He thought, speak like He spoke, because it's recorded in the Bible for us. And we have great appreciation, can worship Him and sing songs and hymns. And anything that we do, whether it's in word or whether it's in deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't call Him by His first name, Jesus. I call Him the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When a mature Christian becomes occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, he contributes to the strength of his nation. He becomes what we know as a pivot member, the glue that holds a nation together. And that's what we're looking for on this radio show. We're looking for those spiritually mature believers that hold this nation together. Are those who want to be spiritually mature, those who are willing to buckle down and get with the program, and grow in the grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and 16, listen to these words. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in His ways and keep His mandates, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Famous words that Moses brought to the children of Israel as they headed into the Promised Land. Occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ is the basis for us having strength under pressure, things that we face in the future. In Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Talking about Abraham. Talking about Moses. By faith they walked out. This is the testimony of Moses where his strength came from. If you read Hebrews 11, you'll find the faith chapter mentions a lot of Old Testament believers that live by faith. It's a wonderful way to live. It means that you trust in the Word of God. You have faith. It's called the faith rest drill. And it is what we know as problem-solving device number 3 on the flight line of your soul. So Moses, by faith, walked out of Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And he endured as seeing the one who is invisible. Paul's testimony concerning his past wealth and influence goes like this. He lets you know these words. In Philippians 3:7, he talks about being occupied with Christ. He said, "But what things were gained for me, I count it all loss except for Christ." The most important thing in your life is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fall victim to celebration of Easter just for the fun day, just for the eggs and the bunnies and just for the children dressing up and just getting fancy and going to church. Understand what this day is about. It represents the victory over death. It represents the sovereignty of God over death. It's our guarantee as He resurrected, so we will be resurrected. It's our guarantee of an eternal future through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever made that decision? Have you ever placed your complete trust and faith in Him? It's very easy to do. The Bible clearly says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can pray today, and you can ask God to save you. In your own words, you can tell God the Father you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to receive Him as your Savior. That's the prayer of salvation. And God will hear it, and God will save you. If you need any more information, don't hesitate to contact us, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. Or you can give us a call at 800-831-0718. So thank you for listening to The Flatline this morning. As I said, we're playing in about 30-some-odd news radio stations, and we don't have an idea how many may be listening, but we hope you'll be a part of our audience, not only today, but in the future as well. And we hope this show will impact your life by giving you direction and challenge, help you to understand the plan of God for your life. There is a flat line that you need to grow in your soul so that you can have a main line of resistance and stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. Thank you for listening today. Hope you'll come back next week, same time. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.